All right, from Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks again for joining us as we explore the food and food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for our listeners for tuning in once again to have us go on about some of the wonderful things in this community and just talk in food in general and get in, you know, up to date on what's going on with everyone and who's out there in our community. So
yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I mean, we haven't had a talk between just the two of us for a while. We haven't had one of those episodes where we just sort of catch up on what each one's doing and what's going on. Thought maybe we could take the beginning of this episode and just catch up.
Yeah. Because we're hitting fall and there's some wonderful things happening.
Oh, I know.
You know, like all the vegetables are ready for harvest, or if they haven't been harvested already. I know.
Yeah.
I've been doing a lot of picking of tomatoes and trying to figure out what to do with green tomatoes because
right.
It's not the warmest summer this year.
No.
But
no, you had quite a crop of tomatoes on your kitchen counter this afternoon.
Yeah.
No,
so I've got some projects ahead of me.
Yeah. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite times of the year. I mean, fall's always been.
Of course.
But mushroom season's we're just hitting it. It's just happening right now.
I've been talking to a lot of people that have been going out since the beginning of the summer and getting bumper crops of mushrooms.
I know. So. I haven't found anything yet. It's just right now. This is where they're all starting to pop up.
Well, you're just kind of green at all of this. So.
It's true. I'm self-taught and whatever. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, I don't know if anybody's checking out our website, our WordPress, our whatever, and soon to be our Facebook, but they might notice that we're updating with, some suggestions, some links. Even in the last couple episodes of the podcast, we've sort of spoken about a couple of other websites, YouTube channels. And I think that just, you know, as we've sort of developed as being hopefully a bit of a resource for people about local food and where to find out information about cooking, food, where to source things out, what have you. It, you know, we always sort of kept our resources guarded.
Right.
And to ourselves. And now it's like, wait a minute, we can be sharing these with people. We're not being paid by these people to mention them. We're not whatever. We're just saying, hey, this is a great tool to use. Here's something that we refer to. Here's something we check out.
That's right. Well, we always talk about different cookbooks we're reading
yeah.
and different websites where we go. So
yeah.
You went back through a bunch of all our old episodes.
I did.
And started throwing up some books, some links to some books.
Absolutely, yeah. So
if you're interested to go on and links you to Amazon so you can pick up a couple books if you're interested.
Yeah. Absolutely. And in full transparency, I mean, we're putting up links to do with, and well thought out, not just random links. Like, you know, on the gardening episode with Tony, we picked out some of Tony's favorite gardening books. And on my first episode, when I came on as a guest talking about the sushi, I put up some of the, we put up links to some of the best sushi books out there and to get started. And we've, you know, and like I said, in full transparency, the whole reason we want to do this is if you are going to buy these books, if you are interested in these books, if you use our link, we get a small credit. Well, we're going to take that credit and buy some of these cookbooks for you to win. That's all. That's the whole intent. We're like, it's not money in our pocket. It's the gives us the ability to start giving out some of our favorite cookbooks to some of the people that are listening. So, if you're interested in buying a cookbook, you should check out our links because it helps get free cookbooks out there. And everybody wants free cookbooks,
exactly.
Especially chef-chosen cookbooks, right?
Yeah, I've got a few that I want to throw up there, but
yeah.
Which will link soon enough.
Yeah, for sure.
But we should move on, and we should talk about, I guess the first thing is, I got to join up with the Chefs Association just recently. We went out and did some apple picking.
Right.
As a bit of a little fundraiser.
Yeah.
So we paired up with Lush Valley, and I met Dave.
Right. Dave, who's on our show tonight.
That's right. So we're going to sit down and talk to him and learn a little bit about his farm.
Yeah, right. And he can tell us all about how he got his way into Lush Valley and got into the whole orchard picking and charitable event. And he'll give us all the details.
Hi. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And sorry, just for the sake of everybody out there, Dave, what's your full name?
My name's Dave Semelink. And
And whereabouts do you come from? Not necessarily down the road or whatever. I mean, where what brings you into food in the valley?
All right. How do I begin with that? Well, I grew up in South Africa.
Right.
My dad's a farmer, and my mother was a cook. She has always been drawn to like really good food, and we've always had amazing food in the house. And
right.
Growing up playing on farms and working on farms, so
wow,
the
yeah.
food movement is, you know, kind of naturally gravitated towards it. I did take 10 years off and decided I was never going to be a farmer and never have anything to do with that. And
yeah.
went to school and studied forestry and conservation. And yeah, then wow. Decided all I really want to do is be a farmer and be involved with good food again. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how did you end up in the Valley?
Cumberland is kind of a tree planter's retirement village,
right.
I found out. I tree planted for 10 years. All over BC. And yeah, just always kind of gravitated back towards this valley. Like, it's just a gorgeous area. It's
right.
really a strong, supportive community when it comes to sustainable agriculture. I came up for a little farm tour a couple years ago and just met so many people that were so enthusiastic about it and
right.
really supportive of me getting into it here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so just
yeah.
came back.
And so what did you come back to do? What have you done? Like you said, you decided that you were a farmer. And that
yeah.
You, yeah.
So yeah, I found a little farm to rent down on Minto Road. An amazing landlady who's just really supportive and has helped me kind of get started here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been renting the farm for 2 years and living here for nearly a year now.
Right.
Kind of getting into pastured livestock, mostly pigs, and did some lambs. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, got chickens, lots of chickens running around, lots of good eggs. And
no way.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So how big is the farm you're on?
It's a 25-acre farm.
And we actually didn't get the name of it yet, did we?
Well, I call my farm Lentilus Organics. That's kind of my business name, but the actual farm we call Minto Farm. We have like a few different projects going on
cool.
the farm. My landlady has a couple houses that she Airbnbs, and then I've got a
oh,
good
wow.
friend she's actually a retired tree planting cook who has a nice market garden on the place as well, and they're
wow.
thinking of doing events there as well. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice
neat.
Little community down there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've talked to a lot of people over the last couple of years, and it seems that there are a little bit of those, like those little collectives forming where they'll, you know, a group of people will just sort of realize they can have multiple uses for a little piece of land and get in on something together. That's great.
Totally. Like, we're all like everybody's little business on the farm kind of benefits each other. Like,
yeah.
the guests buy pork from me and garlic and.
Right.
Likewise, buying vegetables from Heather, and yeah,
right.
it's working.
That's
very
fantastic.
Well.
And mm-hmm. so, what's your focus right now? You said that you've done a couple of things in the past, and
yeah. So basically, I've got garlic going in the ground
yeah.
in a couple of weeks here, and I'm also wrapping up with the Lush Valley fruit tree project that I've been coordinating in the summer,
right?
Which has been really fun. Yeah, a lot of work.
Yeah, well, what exactly were you doing there? So, I mean, John, you were a bit part of that. What?
Well, yeah, it was sort of approached to the Chefs Association that you guys were doing this, and you were doing a fundraising to try and get some equipment to sort of help out with the picking and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and maybe you can go into a little bit about what Lush Valley does with this. And
totally, I'll just kind of talk more about the fruit tree project,
yeah,
which
sure.
I've been coordinating since. Lush Valley does several other things.
They've got 100 things on
there. Yeah, and they've been around for quite some time, I think 20
right.
or 25 years now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my goal this year with the fruit tree project was to get as many volunteers as I could out on the ground actually picking, just to have more people involved with the project. I think
right.
the more people that you can have out there participating in something like this, the yeah, it's just
yeah.
it's going to be shared
right.
with the community. And subsequently, we've been able to harvest, I think we're about close to 50,000 pounds right now.
Oh my God.
Which I think might be more than any other gleaning project in the country this year.
Wow.
Which, yeah, we're really
stoked.
Yeah, like this valley is, it's so abundant.
It is.
And we have the most amazing volunteers. Like,
that's fantastic. So what, so yeah, walk us through it. So yeah, what's the actual process? You're picking fruit, but to what end?
Yeah, so we have homeowners that call us in. Mm-hmm. They call in and just say, okay, we've got two apple trees on our property. Could you come pick them? And then we're like, sure.
Yeah, right.
So we'll get there, and hopefully we'll get there before the apple's on the ground, since we we've just had a couple hundred picks this year. It's been crazy. Our advertising has been very, it's been great, which is good. Like, the more people that call in, the better. Yeah, so homeowners call in, and then they either decide to keep a third of the fruit, or if they're sick of fruit because they've picked all the lower stuff, then we take that too. The volunteers who do the actual picking, they get a third of the fruit as well. And we donate a third of the fruit to charities, anybody in need of fruit. So all of the schools, we're giving out fruit to 7 or 8 schools right now.
Wow.
Food Bank, Soup Kitchen, Transition Society, a bunch of different
organizations. And they're all in the valley?
Yeah.
Wow. I think there's only, being that I'm involved in the school food programs and whatever, I think there's only 13 schools in the valley. So that's a pretty good ratio.
It's really great. And this is where my brilliant volunteers come in handy. Like, I have 4 or 5 pick leaders right now who, they run the actual picks for me. I don't do almost any of the picks myself. Mostly it's just done by volunteers. And they either work in the school districts, or they know somebody there, or they just really want to get fruit out there. I've got Gord, one of my favorite pick leaders. He's just like, I want to get fruit to everybody, and he's out there delivering all day, every day.
Oh my God, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, it was neat for me because it was brought forward to the Chefs Association, like if we were interested in going out and picking apples. And I was like, that sounds awesome, because all we ever do is cook. Like, and it always seems like we're thrown into a kitchen and we got to chop stuff and do this. And this is like an outdoor activity,
right,
where we actually like getting in contact with our food. And so it was great for us. And I think everyone, and I can speak for everyone in the Chefs Association, but we all had a blast, such a fun time. And it was such an easy day because we're just out there casually climbing up trees and with those apple pickers and pulling down apples. And I think we got some pears and some plums, and it was just a great time. And then, and we took all the money and donated it. So it's like,
that's fantastic.
It feels good for us, you know, like, I know.
That's awesome. I think that's great. And you're right. I mean, I grew up in the valley. John grew up in the valley too. And, you know, you drive by these old neighborhoods and there's these, I just know that, like, when various neighborhoods that I grew up in, everywhere you go, there's 2, 3, 4 fruit trees. They might not be the same ones, but like those same pieces of property constantly developing fruit, and it just sort of falls. Like, it's just this is a place where things just grow and grow, and all that food ends up on the ground. And I think it's great. We've talked about it on a few episodes. My Facebook, just about a month ago, I would say at least 3 or 4 a day, people were like, I have 2 boxes of apples at the end of my driveway. First person that comes and can have them, you know, like, just, there's just so much fruit out there. And before, it would just sit in their yard, but people have now gotten into the idea of like, oh, this, people want this, and there's so much can be done with it. Right.
Yeah, no, it's really amazing. And that's what I love about this community, and why I think I was drawn here. That's what this community.
Yeah.
Does, like, we're, everybody kind of supports each other and is really into good food.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great.
We actually, John and I were talking about this earlier today. So John and I both work at a restaurant, the same restaurant, and just yesterday somebody came in and she asked me, and had no idea that I did the podcast or whatever, and she just said, can you tell me, like, what is the draw to living here? Like, why do people want to live here? And she had an angle, but at the time I didn't, you know, I just took that question at face value and say, well, you know, it's great. It's beautiful. It's relaxed, but it's not too far out from the city. It's, you know, there's all these wonderful things. And I was like, I pointed. I was like, you can drive a half hour that way and be on top of a mountain. You can drive a half hour that way and be out in the ocean. And you can drive a half hour that way and you're salmon fishing. And you know what I mean? Like, it's everything's right there. And then, yeah, so then we started talking. And I said, and it's also like, it's a food mecca. It's the center of food. So much food comes out of here. And, you know, at like just this is where food originates and it goes places. And it's not one of the places where it was relying on somewhere else for food to come in. This is where food starts. And she was like, wow. And then she's like, yeah, so I'm a dietitian and I was just offered a job here and I'm trying to decide whether I want to be here. And then she's like, I think I want to be here now. And I think that's great. But I mean, that's just it. Like, I've never been told to pitch the valley to somebody and in 2 minutes try to convince them to move here, you know. But at the same time, I was like, you got to move here. Like, this is, if you're even considering it, this, you got to do it. It's beautiful here. I love it here.
Yeah, so, no, all my friends that come and visit, that's basically what happens. I talk them into moving here. I've got a few that have actually moved here
in the last year.
Just because it's just like, yeah, they come out, check out the farm, and they just fall in love with the place. Like,
that's fantastic. I didn't even realize there was a farm out there. And yeah, I will definitely come out and take a look at some point and just see what's going on.
Yeah, for sure.
So John had said something too about Devonshire pigs?
Berkshire. Yeah, so I've kind of experimented with a bunch of different heritage breeds this year. I did Berkshire, Tamworth, Duroc, then crossed, had a couple crossed with the traditional kind of your pink Landrace Yorkshire pig.
Right.
So I've kept a bunch that I'm going to be breeding over the winter that are a Berkshire Landrace cross, and I'll be breeding them to a purebred Berkshire with a friend of mine's Berkshire boar.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll have lots of little piglets running around next year. So I'm into the crossing the heritage breeds. My father used to breed pigs as well and was looking into pig genetics and kind of finding the perfect breed for super high quality meat.
Right.
So I'm very interested in producing the best product I can possibly produce. I don't really want to produce something that's okay. I want to produce the best. So
That's so funny. Yeah. I think our last episode we were talking to somebody that was, he's producing like prosciuttos and what have you, and he's talking about how he wants nothing but local organic.
Cohen?
Yeah. Oh, you met Cohen.
I've sold Cohen a pig already.
Oh, right. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Yeah. That's the valley right there, is we're all helping each other out, right?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
No, it's great. And there are a bunch of like local food producers as well that are already buying my product. And it's kind of my first year here. I did 50 pigs this year.
Right.
Which is a few pigs, but you know, it's not a ton. And to already have got into like Gorilla Food Company, Biblio Taco.
Oh, wow.
Those guys are already supporting me, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
And then, yeah, kind of probably approach a few more restaurants next year and kind of keep going with it because I want to make it.
I got some room, so.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could just talk about the breeds that you're doing and just describe the difference than,
Your
traditional supermarket pork.
Yeah. So the Berkshire pig it's traditionally a very marbled meat. It looks completely different, like the actual pork product when you look at like a chop or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the intramuscular fat is like laced within the, marbled within like the pork chop or the any cut of the meat. And it's just a lot darker as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so much more flavor in the fat. Like, you want to cook with a lot of the fat on these pigs just because...
Well, I think it's such a farce that people are like, oh, take all the fat off. I want lean.
No.
Like, fat is flavor.
Yeah.
And that's the simplest.
Exactly. Like, at least cook with it. Like, if you're going to cut it off, like, just cook with it.
Just
cook. Yeah. Like, it's... Yeah.
I know. I think that... Well, I'm sure we'll go into it at some other episode. I think we've talked about it. But I think that people have been conditioned to think that... fat is wrong and horrible for you. And in truth, you know, there's some good qualities to fat. And especially when it comes from a good source.
Yeah.
And so. I don't care because it just tastes good.
That's so good.
Oh, that's fantastic. So the general public, are they going to be able to buy your...
Definitely, yeah. So I kind of marketed through friends and family in the valley. Mm-hmm. And then as well, I was part of the farmers market out here in Cumberland for the summer and sold several pigs through that, and then sold a bunch of pigs through Lush Valley and the people I've met through that as well, which has been
Wow.
A side benefit I didn't even think of when I first got the job, which is great.
Yeah.
And then I'll be at the winter farmers market as well, kind of selling by the cut. I kept back a few pigs just to pick up more customers this winter. And
well, that's fantastic.
Well, I think it's one of those things, once you've tried it, it's just, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Right? You can just taste it.
The amount of people that have come up to me and told me it's the best pork they've ever eaten. Like, obviously, you know, people are going to tell you that if they buy half a pig and, you know, it's going to be nice. But then when I actually, like, tried it and I ate it, I'm like, this is actually really, really good.
Yeah.
Well, it comes right down to the same thing. I mean, if you go grab, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but if you grab a carrot from a superstore and taste that, and then you go grab a carrot from, say, Arzina's farm, like, the difference is immense. And it's the same thing. You go pick up some pork chops from Superstore versus, say, pork from a local, like, organic farmer. The difference is immeasurable. Like, it's a significant, noticeable difference. You're just going to change your mind.
Yeah. No, like, the flavor and just knowing where the pork comes from as well. Like, confinement piggeries are disgusting. Like, like, it makes me ill even thinking about them and watching documentaries on that.
Right.
And I like to, like, if you're having a really good meal, you want to talk about the food as well. Like, I grew up talking about food. Like, my grandfather was a farmer, my dad's a farmer. Like, this, you know, we talk about what's on the table, and my mother's cooking amazing meals that we're eating. So,
yeah.
And that's what I want to carry on doing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
That's part of the best part of the meal. You know, like, just sitting there and being like, so what are we eating tonight?
Instead
of, well, we got this. This pig from here, we got this from here, and this from here, and it's just, it's kind of interesting, and it adds something and sort of connects you with it. So
for sure, for sure. I think we've sort of covered it. Thanks for coming in to talking with us, Dave.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Now, definitely. Now, if someone is interested in getting a hold of some of your pork or some of your other products that you have there, definitely your garlic. What else do you have? Lamb?
Yeah, so lamb's all sold out already this year, but I do have...
But it will be coming back next year?
I will have lots of lamb next year and probably turkey and chicken as well. And
wow.
But yeah, I do have pork and garlic available now, and people can come by the farm, which is on Minto Road, or they can just contact me through my website, which is lentlessorganics.com. Good luck spelling that.
we'll put a link on the on the website. So
For sure. And which end of Minto Road, just in case people are wandering
closer
around?
Closer to Royston, the Royston Road, just before the shop corner.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Yeah,
so you're not that far in there. So.
Yeah, really close by, really.
Okay, great.
And then Lush Valley, maybe you could just do a little plug for people that are interested in donating some trees to get picked, or
more than trees, we need volunteers. Like, if more people want to come out and help, we have a lot. We have 150 volunteers on our email list, and I have 5 pick leaders, but we need more people to come out and help, especially towards the end of the season here, where everybody's tired. All the my volunteers that are regulars have already picked thousands of pounds of fruit themselves. So,
and not that it changes anything, but I had no idea that the volunteers they have the option to take some of that home.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Like, everybody's stocked up with as much fruit as they possibly can have. Like, I don't want to see another apple in my life.
I think you may be convincing Jared to come along pretty quick.
I've got this thing. I just can't see food go to waste, and I love purposing food. And so as soon as you're like, well, you can take some. Oh, right. Well, maybe I will.
We'll sign you up.
Sign them up before you leave. Yeah. So, anyone who's interested in that, how do they get a hold of you on that?
Just look up the Lush Valley website, and you can fill out a little contact form on there, and I'll email you back and put you on the email list, and we'll have you picking fruit within a couple of days.
That's awesome.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And if people want to get in touch with us, John?
Of course, you can always get a hold of us at theediblevalley@gmail.com. Don't forget to check us out at theediblevalley.com. You got us at Facebook at Edible Valley.
Yeah.
And Twitter at Edible Valley. So there's lots of ways to get a hold of us. Absolutely. And we'd love to hear from you. And if you have a tree, let us know. We'll pass it along. So
absolutely.
And more importantly, if you want to pick...
And if you leave us a little comment on Facebook or what have you, that's where we're going to start directing the cookbook giveaways. So we'll be putting up details there for everyone to take a look at soon enough.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast.
Thanks.
The Atlas Cafe, celebrating 20 years in the Comox Valley. Globally inspired, locally sourced.
Do you like chocolate?
I like chocolate.
Ivanstruffles.com.